Stop it!
Do it now.
I hear you.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. Cookies?
Who told you can eat my cookies? Put that cookie down, now! It's time now to turn this mush into muscle. It's terrible time.
Now introducing two men who can eat a peach for a few minutes or half an hour, depending on how much they've had to drink. Ben and Matt.
Nice. Thank you, Kayla. Unless you went off script on that one.
Welcome to the show. We we thought we'd fire at some Halloween action at you this evening. See, or daytime, depending on when you listen.
I feel like, is it like we're both eating the same? We're eating a peach at the same time, like. Or, like...
Yeah.
If that's like, the case, and I think we can last it more than a few minutes. Like, you can take over for a while, and I'll sit back and rest. I think we can make this work.
I think in order to make it really work, we'd have to, like, hold the peach in the middle, like, both of us hold it at the same time, and then eat it, like that Disney cartoon with the dogs. Lady and the Tramp.
Oh.
Eating spaghetti. And we meet at the pit. All their mouths are super wide open because it's a pit.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's so hot. Just thinking about it. Anyway,
you need to re-listen to this, and you're going to think, "Holy shit, what did I honestly just say?" But
I always do
for hours. Hi everyone.
Hello.
Today we are going to talk about things, and this is very important to talk about.
Indeed.
First off, we're aiming to make this one our Halloween debut special. Odds are we won't, but just think behind your back of your mind, Halloween. Oh yeah, I get it. Talking about you, Matt. And I like to kick it off by saying how much I enjoy coming to your apartment complex here.
Excellent.
Because the sun was going down, and it apparently rained because the apartment complex got wet. Meaning it multiplied into like 7 different complexes and all glued together.
Which is fine until you feed the apartment complex after midnight.
Yeah, I'm not staying here much longer. I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
That always bothered me because it's always after midnight. Like, midnight is when the day starts. So, any time of the day, it's after midnight.
Wouldn't have to be like, oh yeah.
He would really have to say like, between the hours of midnight and the sun up or something.
Yeah.
In order to make it really a thing, because, yeah, it's, don't feed enough from what?
Yeah.
Oh. Fucking gremlins.
Fucking mogwais, man. Fucking little Asian guys that sell them.
If he'd have given better instructions, I could have written his work instructions for this mogwai. Then we'd have been just fine.
You know, that was the reference I was getting at about your apartment complex that I got completely fucking lost into. Sun is going down. You got nothing but, like, trees that have half their leaves on it. And my headlights are illuminating the entire way getting through here. And it was like playing a game of Slender. I don't know if you've played this game yet.
Not.
Have you heard about this?
Uh-uh.
The Slender Man? Shit's creepy.
Okay.
Yeah, you're supposed to go through a foresty, weird fucking night area with just your flashlight, and you're looking for pages from like a diary, like 5 pages to get out of it.
It's called Slender Man?
Yes.
Sounds like Alan Wake. Have you played Alan Wake?
No.
Same exactly. You have a flashlight, that's the only thing you have to fight bad guys, and like you have to find pages of your book that you haven't written yet.
Okay.
Interesting.
Is Slender Man in it?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because he kills you.
Oh.
Every time you play it.
Oh.
He keeps creeping up closer and closer to you.
Wow.
Yeah. You'll see him off in the distance, and then he'll just disappear. He's like wearing a suit, and he's got like long arms that go to the ground. He's got like a white face, nothing on it.
Neat.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah, that sounds creepy. Adam Wake was pretty funny.
That's what I was thinking was out there when
all
I was.
Right. Well, I'm sorry too.
No, it was. I was.
We
too.
Had the cops here the other night. Like, there was like. They had like a paddy wagon and like 4 or 5 cop cars.
Yeah.
And like. By the way, paddy wagon is probably a derogatory thing, isn't it? Like, paddy, like, because Irish cops. Like, it's an Irish thing.
I never actually thought about it.
I don't know. Anyway.
To be completely honest, I didn't know that people used the term paddy wagon anymore.
I saw it on a commercial for a toy when I was a kid, and I've said it ever since.
Huh.
It's like the big like box car that they put when they arrest multiple people at once.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, they were, and they didn't take anybody away, I don't think, but we heard some girl like talking on our balcony, like, "Oh my god, they pulled their guns," and I was like, "My daughter, my daughter." And we didn't listen for long enough to find a context, but we know they have a pit bull and they're not supposed to because it's a restricted breed in this complex. Yeah. But I doubt the police were here for that.
Right. With guns. Should the paddy wagon be called like a pig trough or something?
A pig trough. They brought the pig van. Look out.
The slop house is here. The butcher market just pulled up. Oh, shit. The meat hooks. Oh, they're going to get you.
I can see that.
So this game. This Alan... Alan Rickman.
Mr. Potter.
Mr. Quigler.
I forgot about Mr. Quigley. Holy shit.
Never forget about Mr. Quigley.
Nice.
But, Mr. McLean. Mr. John McLean. I'm Alan Rickman. I'm very well-mannered.
Somebody described him as sounding Mr. like he always had milk in his throat. I thought that was very accurate.
Milk in his throat.
Like, you know, you drink too much milk and your throat gets all milky and then you, like, you start to talk and you go, for the first little bit. Maybe just me. But anyway, and this other person.
I always thought that that was the way that the guy who's in Genesis, he's saying, not...
Phil Collins?
Not him.
Peter Gabriel?
Yes. he has the milk throat.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Oh, he's got strong masculine!
He's got such a milk throat, that guy.
Great milk throat, man. This is new stuff. And then you start to get into like a Bobcat Goldthwait when you. I apologize. I'll work on that one.
Make us a sandwich.
So, anyways, let's go back to this Alan Rickman.
Yes, Alan Wake.
Alan Wake.
It's Mr.
Wake.
It's a horror game, and you have, like, you're, like, fighting the darkness, and every time, like, it gets dark outside, you go into, like, other world, and, like,
The Band of Darkness.
No.
Okay.
You have, like, all the people in the town, like, turn all ghouly when it gets dark, and, like, you have to shine a flashlight on them to weaken them, and then you shoot them with bullets, and it's freaky. It's a freaky game. I recommend it.
I don't have a system to play on.
What?
No.
Did you get Ring of Death or something? I thought you had an Xbox.
I sold it. Times got tough.
Goddamn, dog. That's tough. Well, we should play after we're done here, then. Get you some time in.
Some Alan Rickman.
Some Alan Rickman, Mr. Potter time. So anyway, spooky games aside, I'm sorry, the Slender Man almost got you on the way in.
It's okay.
Have you ever, in real life, seen a ghost or witnessed anything paranormal or heard anything?
Yeah.
There's a ghost paging you right
every
now.
Every time I think, I hear a chirp. it's kind of weird. It's haunting me. It follows me everywhere I go.
Do we need to pause?
You know, the good people at home, our moms, who listen to this, they don't know. They can't see me texting. And I don't lose my train of thought. So stop selling me out, you fuck.
Do you want to stop fucking around with your phone for 4 seconds
what?
And your podcast?
Is that slowing me down? you human paraquat?
Back to my question, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. No, I did. When I was younger, I was babysitting myself. I think it's because my parents are just notoriously cheap. But I got back at them because as I grew up, my shit got more expensive. Anytime I got into big trouble, they needed to bail me out. And if they would have gone back and shucked out like 15... to 20 bucks for someone to come watch me, it probably wouldn't have turned out as bad as it did. It's an investment. It's like, man, my tooth hurts, but I just don't want to go see the dentist now, which will be, you know, like a $100 visit to drill a cavity or $5,000 to pull a goddamn tooth and cap it off.
Or 11-year-old Ben knocks up the babysitter and they have an even more expensive issue to take care of.
No, man. I got neutered when I was young. I want to make sure it dies in me. No, I was babysitting myself and I was watching Cheers. And I looked from the front room over behind the lamp and I saw a shadow looking at me and then ducked back around the wall.
Oof.
Yeah.
And you're home alone. That sucks.
Uh-huh. So then I just focused on the TV and never looked away from it until my parents came home. I had to pee. I'm sure of it. So, it was pretty good.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing that scares me like ghosts. Like, I don't know why. Like, they don't appear to be... I don't think anybody has ever been reported killed by a ghost or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since I was a little kid, my grandpa used to, like, tell me stories of, like, oh, yeah, like... Their house was built on... I know it's cliche, but it literally was built on an Indian burial ground, like that area. So weird shit happened in their house, like, all the time. And he told me all about it, and then I'd come home and not be able to sleep at night. But I never actually... I can't think of anything that I witnessed myself. Like, there were things that were weird that happened to me, but, as I get older, like, no, that's totally explainable. Like, that probably just happened this way. But when I was a kid, I was like, oh, shit.
Hmm.
Like, I would find, like, my toys being weird places that I don't remember putting them. Like, I had, like... a whole bunch of Ninja Turtle weapons in the cuff of my pants one time. Uh-huh. And I probably just spilled them, and they ended up, and I just walked around with them in my pants for like a week and didn't know about it, because I used to wear my pants for a week back then.
Hell, I still do.
but they, we had this painting of this little boy in our laundry room, and little kid with a duck hat, and like he had the creepy, like big, like Precious Moments giant eyes, but the artist... decided to go the extra mile and make him those kind of eyes that, like, the paint's kind of spherical, so the eyes sort of, like, look like they're following you as you go around the room. So it was, like, super-duper creepy, and, like, I asked my mom about it, and she's like, oh, no, it's just something that I picked up, and I thought it was cute, so I was like, so you put it in the laundry room in the basement? And my brother and sister, like, 9 years and 6 years older than me, were like, oh, yeah, that's the little boy who died in the basement. Like, when we started, and Mom tried to take the picture down, and he didn't like not being remembered, so he started, like, really haunting, like, slamming doors and really getting at us, so that's why she has to have the picture up to appease the ghost of the little boy. And I'm like, ah! You know, like, 6 years old.
Holy shit.
And until, like, age, I don't know, 18, I was scared of being home alone in that house. And then my sister was finally like, yeah, we made that shit up. Like, oh, you fuckers.
I'll never underestimate the creepiness of a toy with eyes, man.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah. I've had interesting run-ins with toys with eyes before. My mom used to go to ceramics class.
Okay.
And she used to pick up things that someone made, and she would then paint them. She had a really good talent for painting these ceramics. And she made one thing for my grandma, and it took her fucking forever to give it to her. So until she gave it to her, and sat on top of our TV. And my grandma had a thing for pigs. It was like her animal that she liked. She had all these little stickers and magnets and dolls. And they were all pigs, you know. I don't know. And so this thing was a pig. Yeah. It was a pig head. And it wasn't... like an actual, like, pig head look, you know, wasn't like a severed pig head look to it.
Right, it was like a piggy bank kind of thing.
Right, it was kind of like, it had like humanoid-esque features to it, and big painted eyes, and it was creepy size. It was like a small child's head size. What the purpose was of it was, I think, that it was like a planter, like... My grandma could either put junk in it or napkins or an actual plant because the top
it was hot
open.
Yep. Okay.
That fucking thing. That fucking thing was creepy as shit. It had eyes. It had human eyes. It didn't have pig eyes. And it just stood there, motionless, on top of the TV, judging me.
Are you watching HBO up late at night?
No, I was seeing how fast I could run. I was seeing my patterns. Yeah, it was. I could tell it had wanted me.
It tested the fence one panel at a time, and it never tested the same place twice.
No,
they were testing it.
Sorry. You can make light of it all you want, man.
I'm trying, man. That's what I do.
Yeah,
I'm sorry you're traumatized.
It's...
Well, a thing that they do... Eyes are
the
creepy.
The creepiest part about
okay, sorry, go ahead. Thing
is the dust that would collect around its eyes.
It get extra dusty eyes?
I think what it was because the thing was made of ceramics.
So it was like magnetic or something? I understand.
That when it moved around, it would rub on itself. It had like a powder.
Oh, okay.
The fucking thing's eyes could move, I'm telling you. No one would ever believe me. No one would ever see
it. Blink and it would like sand itself a little bit with its own eyelids.
Maybe. I don't know. Wow. But it always had a powdery eyes. Nice. We're watching you.
Wow. That is...
Powder eyes.
Watching you, watching you, watching you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That song is going to haunt me forever now.
Private eyes watching you.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, sculpted eyes on things is creepy.
Yeah.
But there's also a thing that sculptors started doing that, my grandpa got this old cowboy, and he looks like, I don't know, like your classic, like, big mustachioed cowboy. And, it looked charming enough, and it was cool, and whatever. But, like, the eyes were, like, little slits. In order to make it, like, look black on the sculpture, to make it, like, the eye shape, they, like, just gouged really deep between the eyelids to make it black. Right. So his eyes were gouged out. This cowboy's eyes were gouged. And same thing with, like, little babies that my mom has a sculpture of. Like, they're supposed to be little cherubs, like, laughing or whatever. But they have no eyes. Their eyes have been surgically pulled out of their heads. And they still have eyelids. And it's the creepiest damn thing you've ever seen ever.
Wow!
So, yeah, I mean, eyes are creepy, but the absence thereof are also really fucking creepy. I wonder if that messes with people on this thing when we, because it records in stereo.
Yeah.
So, like, my voice was, like, in the middle of their brain just then, and now...
Well, it's our Halloween episode. I hope so.
Yeah. What if I go... You guys feel that? That was fucked up. Probably not.
If a mat sways side to side, does anyone hear it?
Let's see here. So I worked at a haunted house 1 year to make some extra cash when I was like 17. Mm-hmm. A good buddy of mine was connected with somebody in Durand, Michigan, or Durand as they say.
Twice and make one of the greatest 80s bands in the world.
Durand, yes.
Yes.
And so he's like, oh yeah, well you just come on down and we just scare the shit out of people and we make like $8 an hour. It's sweet, man. And I was like, dude, $8 an hour is way more than I make like sorting screws at the hardware store. This is awesome. So they're like, okay, here's your job. I put this big mask and I wear a big like robe and the mask has like a voice modulator in it and I'm supposed to sit in a coffin and then when I hear people coming by, I jump out of the coffin, open the lid, jump out of the coffin and say something creepy and there's like a voice thing and it makes my voice all super bassy and so I would say shit like, I'll swallow your soul and stuff like that from movies that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. The downside of this is that when business is slow, you're sitting in a coffin. coupled with the fact that on my way out to Durand, because it was about a half hour drive to get out here, he's telling me that the haunted house is in an old abandoned bean factory. And the owner of the factory's son tipped over into a barrel of beans and suffocated and died in the warehouse. So his ghost still haunts this bean factory.
Wow.
So here I am. Like, I'm supposed to be the scarer, but there's all this creepy music with chains and fucking fog, and I'm sitting in my own coffin with my arms crossed, and I'm supposed to keep my shit together while there's some little creepy bean ghost running around. And it really frightened me quite a lot. And the last night, I just dealt with it. I'm not a huge puss. I just was like, I'll do my job. I'll make my $8. But the last night, we decided the last customers, they were going to get their money's worth. Because it was after Halloween, so nobody gave a shit. And we're like, if somebody comes, we're going to really give them a show. So as they passed every little scare station, the monsters from that scare station would collect. And we were actually following them throughout the whole thing. So they would like have a little more sense of urgency than normal. Mm-hmm. And we had, like, my buddy Mark was the guy with the chainsaw, and, like, which creeped my shit out. I knew the thing had no chain on it and that it couldn't hurt me, but when he came out with that, I was like, oh, God! Huge puss. And so we decided that in the basement of this thing was this big, like maze, like totally pitch-black maze made of plywood.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided me and a couple of other scares in our costumes and all of our regalia, that we were going to try to, like, take a shortcut through this maze. Like, there was, they had blocked it all off with plywood or whatever. And we got stuck. I don't know how we ended up but we got stuck, like, in between, like, in a not maze part. Like, in the in-between walls where you can feel the studs and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So we got lost. And for the first little bit, we're, like, banging on stuff, like, yeah, and they're really, you know, we got a good reaction. But then they left, and we're, like, it's pitch fucking black, and we're in the outside of the maze, but it's still a, like, maze, but there's no real end because it's the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we were lost on this haunted fucking bean factory in our stupid monster makeup for, like, I don't know, half hour or so before somebody finally came and turned the lights on and we could figure it out.
Huh.
Yeah, it was probably, I was supposed to be the scaring person, but it was probably the most scared I've been in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been to some scary shit myself.
Yeah?
Well, Grand Rapids has The Haunt.
Okay. I've never been.
I went last year. With
heard great five. Things.
It's okay. The anticipation to get in is the scariest part. You're like, what the fuck's in here? But then it's like, it's not that bad. But it's a good ride. I was going to be a part of it one year.
Mm-hmm.
And someone from our school said they're looking for people be in it, and so I was like, yes, I would love to do this. This would be the greatest thing in the world. And so I showed up with a bunch of people, and they were doing auditions and seeing what people could do.
Wow.
And so we were all having to act like oozes or werewolves, or, you know, they just wanted to see it all go down. And they're like, this place, you know, this is great, because we're like a big family here, we like to have everyone back every year. Give away awards for the most convincing. And we're going to have a great time. I noticed, the one thing that I noticed, though, about that place was that I felt like Patrick Swayze in Ghost. Because everyone was never looking at me. There's never one person there who was like, so, how'd you get here? Or excited to do this? Or nothing, man. I swear to God, there was a couple times people walked through me. And I was like, well, I think I know what I'm going to be doing. My part is going to be in The Haunt. I'm going to be fucking Patrick Swayze. It'd be awesome. So I'm not making friends. And so it's kind of shitty. And they're like, well, let's go take a break. And we all go outside and take a break. And we're like, all right, let's get back inside. We got to assign parts. And I was like, cool. And so I'm walking in. And some, I don't know, girl, maybe you're like 5 years younger than me or something. She fucking had to be in high school. Like the younger years of high school. Ninth mm-hmm. grade, probably.
Okay.
She just noticed me and she goes, excuse you. And she
what?
Walks. Yeah, I'm trying to get in the door. Excuse you. And then she walks on in and I just like stopped and was like, fuck The Haunt. The only person I see is one catty little cunt who says to me, excuse you. Who says that shit, right? I mean, Patrick Swayze, he at least had, hey, get off my train! Pa, pa, pa! Grabbing and throwing out. And, yeah! Stay away from my train! I'm gonna teach you how to do this later! Talks, right?
Teach you how to... I remember saying that part.
I was just kind of paraphrasing.
Right, no, yeah. Yeah, I get it.
I could excuse you, and I was like, fuck The Haunt. Fuck you. And I,
yeah, well, you want it to be a family, but you don't want it to be the family where you have, like, the bitchy younger sister who gets her way all the time.
Right. And I knew it was just going to end bad, because I was just, like, trying to think it. I was like, dude, you're probably not even see her. Maybe you get a chance working with her. You get a chance to piss in her fucking lunch bag or something. You'll have a good time. But as I was doing this, I was breaking a tree limb off a fucking tree. And I'm heading back in that plant, and I just stop, and I go, whoa, too many witnesses. Lesson's over, Ben. And I just laughed. I was like, no, you're done. You caught yourself. Well, just in time before a homicide. But no. I will tell you the scariest haunted house I've ever seen. This was back in Colorado when I was living there. Now, I was reading a newspaper. Worked at a gas station at point. And there was a lot of downtime, so I was reading a newspaper, and they said Hell House was coming to Colorado. Hell House is put under by a church.
Yeah, for the Hell House.
That's
awesome.
What's fucking going? So, I get my crew together. I get Adam. I get Brock. And I get girlfriend at the time, Gabby. All four of us. We head down to Hell House. It's actually not that far away from the place where they're living at. And I was like, let's do this. This is going to be the shit. I even had a teacher at school telling me, get your phone out and record some of the shit and I'll pay you. And I was like, yeah. So I get there and they're very, very strict. You can almost tell. Like, armed guard strict. Kind of like, no fucking phone. You understand? Jesus will see you. And it's like, I didn't even have an appointment with him. So we were there. We're there amongst the sheep who are there to get enlightened as well. My enlightenment comes with a whole sense of humor thing. I wanted to, and curiosity, and it had nothing to do with the spiritual. And we pay off this large sum, and we go in there, and we sit down. Now, this is a big warehouse, but they've sectioned it off into various places, and darkness pretty much cuts it all off. But you can tell there's a lot of shit going on. What it is us as a crowd, we'll be going from big, large cubicle to big, large cubicle, and those will be lit as we get there. So you can try to see through the darkness and see what's waiting for you, but we can't. And we're sitting in a chapel-style area, and then two demons come out, and I'll have to give them credit. Their makeup was pretty goddamn good. Their demon makeup honestly was good. It was very good. It was like some Hollywood fucking, and they put some money into it.
Nice.
That one didn't go into the guy who's running its fucking pedophile collection. You know they're all like that.
It's not, I just sweep with a broad brush, but everyone who's religious is a pedophile.
No, just the people in charge.
Okay.
The pastors and shit.
Okay.
So we're sitting here, and these demons welcome us all into this ride of whatever the fuck it is.
Well, morality.
That's right, yeah. Now, there's not just lights on in this area. There's, like, blue lights going on, right? And this isn't stuff you're seeing and just, like, oh, okay, well, a well-lit room. Not at all. And then the organ music plays. Some fucking wedding music plays. And two grooms walk up the aisle together. Uh-huh.
That is scary.
They're having a gay wedding.
I've never heard of anything more frightening in my life.
I saw it firsthand, dude. I would like to say, though, for that church of whatever the fuck it was, in Latter-day Saints, that the one of the groomsmen was a girl with a mustache on.
What? So they weren't really acting it out.
That's right, right. It was supposed to be two guys.
Yeah.
But you could tell one was a girl and had a mustache on and was in a tuxedo.
They didn't even want to take a chance.
No. We don't want to anger Christ.
Jeez, oh, Jesus. Mm.
So these demons, it's important that you know that these demons don't interact with the players. They do, but the players themselves, they don't hear them, okay? So these two groomsmen are being badgered about their gayness. It's a sin, and they're going to hell. So now it clicks. I'm like, okay, we're going to see scenarios of everyone who's going to hell.
Uh-huh.
All right, okay, so let the show begin. Fucking hard rock music starts, and I don't mean like Huey Lewis hard rock. I'm saying just some shredding of guitars and stuff like that that goes with the here comes the groom, I guess, and here comes the bottom, and red lights instead of blue, right? Okay, so then they walk off together, and the demons are happy because they just got two new people to come to hell. But the good news is about gays is that their sins get to hit them while they're alive. Instead of their spiritual karma bank being overdrawn when they die, and them going to death hell, it happens while they're, while they're alive.
So they give
the
you
the next room over. There's the two, and this isn't right after the wedding, but probably a few days. One of them's dying of AIDS and getting what he deserves. No, that's just, this is, you're fucking telling me.
Holy shit.
Okay, and they're laughing because when he does die, he just now came to hell. And I'm like, but it seems like they're probably pretty monogamous. I mean, they got married. Are you saying that gay marriage spreads AIDS?
One's a carrier and the other one's not.
Right.
At all. Like.
And so, yeah, he dies of AIDS on a hospital bed and they're happy. The demons. I probably have to get
I love how there's light cues to let you, in case you didn't know, like, oh, you're like, oh, this is a wedding, it's night. Oh, this is supposed to be evil, I mm-hmm. understand now.
So gay marriage actually is the number one source of AIDS. Which I now understand why we're not, why the Republicans are against that. You don't.
Do you think they put that in the ads?
I think, warning, may contain AIDS. okay. I'm now fucking mortified by the shit. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to end up punching my way out of this fucking place. Because I'm pretty sure that's not how you get AIDS. And so we continue on with our tour. I did not come in with any respect for any of these guys who were a part of this. Nothing whatsoever.
Okay, that's
I still had it for their makeup, because the makeup was pretty damn good for these two
guys. Yeah, yeah.
They looked like they're fucking members from GWAR or something, you know? It was fucking
some
awesome.
Some atheist makeup guy did a good job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not praying for skill, I'm fucking practicing. we move along, man. We go into two girls who are roommates, but they're also junkies. And one of them had a baby out of wedlock.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Two girls living together is enough for me, thanks.
I know, it's pretty hot, isn't it? I mean, I was totally like, looking at that, too. I was like, yum. Now, they weren't a couple, but they were two girls. And I was a guy, and I was drawing my own conclusions. But we didn't get touched into lesbianism, because I'm pretty sure the pastor who was... who owns this and gets all the money from this, I'm sure he's got it. Well, it's two girls, and if it's hot, it's not against God. And but they are junkies. They like doing drugs and drinking. And one of them is a single mother and has a baby. And
which, if your guy that you sleep with doesn't pony up, that makes you a big sinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
If you don't tackle him and make him marry you,
yep.
You are going to hell.
You're supposed to have the child, and then he's like, well, it looks like this is going to happen then. And if he doesn't, you're going to hell. You are going to hell. He's fine, because he's a man. He just hasn't settled down yet. He can still vote.
You're just his wild oats.
You're his wild oats. You're his wild sinner oats. Taste of cinnamon. So they get drunk as shit. Cinnamon. Cinnamon's hot.
Tastes like cinnamon.
So they get drunk and they leave. And what this is about is how she's not married and has a kid. That they're drinking and driving. I'm like, you're kind of losing me here. We illuminate the next spot. They have an upside down car. That's like destroyed, and they have like a scene of like an outdoorsy area. Well, these two girls are now dead, and the baby that was in the carrier thing is dead too. And apparently, because of drinking and driving and not being married, the baby goes to hell too.
Right. Sorry, you've still got original sin on your hands, yo.
It may have been he wasn't baptized, or he never gave to the coffers of the church. I'm not sure what it was his sin was, but he's going to hell too, and they liked it. You know, the demons, they loved it. So we move on to teenage suicide. Okay? And I was like, all right, now this is like something I can get into, you know? This is not anything I like in this world. Good cup of coffee and teenage suicide. Big fan.
And, I like my car smashed and my teen suicide.
My teen suicide. Yeah, this one kid hangs himself. It was pretty cool. The demons even kicked out the
stool for him?
Yeah.
Well, that's not fair.
No shit, huh? I thought you couldn't interact with them, you fucks.
They're breaking the rules of the movie Constantine.
Transubstantial my ass. So, yeah, he offs himself. Then our next room was, it was the girl from the Ring.
Okay.
All right.
Because having your mom drown you in a well is a sin.
You know, I don't completely recall what her thing was. This is probably the one part in the entire thing that I wasn't sure about, but it did keep me interested in a different way. Now, this is pretty cool. They had a projector shooting out, the well scene thing, you know, the well in the field and so on.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Onto a black...
in case the totally clueless people weren't scared. They wanted to just have something...
Pretty much, yeah.
Innocuously scary.
Right. And it was pretty cool because they had her crawling out of the well on the footage and then coming closer and coming closer and coming closer. And then this girl came out of... like these two black curtains.
Mm-hmm.
She came out of it, you know, right when she was supposed to.
I could see that being freaky.
It was pretty cool. I was like, all right, you know what? Maybe this whole Jesus thing is true. And you got me, you know, your special effects kick ass. Fuck the gays. All right. And the cinnamons. So she comes out and she's like whispering something. I don't even fucking remember what she was saying. But she was like being all jerky in her movements and creepy, had her hair.
Was there like strobe light to make it? That's how I would have done it.
No, I don't think so. This had some weird music going on.
So she was just like doing the robot, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was like just walking around and just saying stuff like this and this and that's this, you know. And then she got next to
me. I love Obama.
I love Obama. I think everyone should live in harmony. We shouldn't even see races anymore. A black president.
No! Turn it off! Turn it off!
And so she like got in my girlfriend's face and she was like, oh, yeah. Now I was like, this could work, actually. That's when I was like, no, honey, let's kind of go with this.
Let's hear what
she seems to be creeping up on you, and she seems to know what she's doing. That's the only reason I remember that part. But I don't remember what the sin was, so fuck the sin. All right, we're moving along. We get to a daycare.
Something that's not in the Bible nearly often enough, by the way. Fuck the sin. Let's move forward.
Fuck this sin moving forward. You learn to read between the lines. It's quite a bit.
That's true.
So we go into a daycare center, and this is a huge, large room, and there's fucking toys, like real little kids' toys, just scattered all around this room. And this is the only like well lit room. I mean, you walk in here, it's just a well lit office room, but it's a daycare. You know, no kids, nobody taking care of the kids or whatever. And these are aborted children.
They're boarded?
Aborted.
Oh, aborted. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least they got toys.
Because abortion is apparently a sin.
I hadn't heard that.
No, it's true. It's not just a political tool, man. This is the room of the children that never were, okay? And there's like a loudspeaker announcing names, historical names, people that could have been aborted. And it's going through the histories. Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King. And they're just going through all these names of people that were once babies that could have been aborted, right? But weren't, right? I'm not saying, like, Abraham Lincoln should have been here, but he's not because he was aborted. They're just trying to say, look, if you abort people, you don't know what kind of future they have.
Right.
And I just go, Adolf Hitler. And this girl in front of me just turns around and gives me this fucking scowl. And it's like, it's true. I mean, if he had been aborted, there's so many good movies out there we couldn't have made. And that would have been a sin. And it was cool because lights kick off, black light comes on, and there's children handprints everywhere all over the walls.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
This freaking music's playing, and then there's that shit. And like, wow, okay, I didn't see that. That's kind of cool. And then I was like, of course this pastor has access to a shitload of kids.
Yeah. Put your hands on the wall, bend over here, and then here, and then here.
Fucker. And we move on to the next room, and this next room is very important.
So wait, they never showed the kids, though?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that was my thing, like, how are they going to did they want to show the kids being really good, like awesome kids, because you know, see what you're missing, kind
of
thing.
Just a ghost room of aborted kids.
Or do you want them to be like all like hateful little souls that were like, you aborted me, you sons of bitches?
I think it was a pretty good tactic. The way
it's not bad. It's pretty good. That's,
I didn't see it coming. I was like, damn, creepy. And
can I say, I was thinking about, and this is off topic a little bit, I'm sorry, but
great, kill my story. Go ahead, let's hear it.
Yeah, no, I want to, please.
Derail my fucking
it's thing. Going fucking nowhere, really. no!
I don't have the money on.
the whole, like, well, if this historical figure, like, mankind moves in a certain direction, like, if this historical figure wasn't around, chances are somebody would have risen up. Like, when I was a little kid, I was like, oh, the Wright brothers are amazing, because if it wasn't for the Wright brothers, we'd still be, like, driving everywhere. We wouldn't have airplanes. And my brother was like, yeah, if they didn't do it, somebody would have, though. Like, it's not like they were the only ones working on what they were working on.
Right. No, that's true.
So that whole, like, Abraham Lincoln got aborted, like, yeah, fucking somebody else who wasn't aborted would have ended slavery. Thanks very much.
Yeah. But there's also the thing about the Wright brothers. We wouldn't have airplanes if it weren't for them, right? Okay. Maybe it's true. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't even think of the fucking idea of airplanes.
We wouldn't be walking around going, damn it. You know how easy it would be to get to California from here if the Wright brothers were only alive?
It's like our space travel that we haven't made, like, to Mars in 30 minutes. Because someone got fucking aborted. It's like, oh my god.
An argument can be made that World Trade Center towers would still be up if it wasn't for the fucking Wright brothers.
Touché. I like your style.
All right, so back to your story. What was the next room? I'm sorry. Sorry I interrupted.
Domestic abuse.
Ooh, now this, I can get behind this.
No, he won't.
Oh, damn it.
All right, so we got a man who's drinking and hates his job, hates his life, hates his wife, and hates his kids.
I can get behind being against this, by the way. I can get behind domestic abuse. This is my favorite thing. Anyway,
well,
sorry.
We see a little scenario of how the whole thing goes down.
Okay.
He clocks her in the face, okay?
Okay.
She says, that's it, takes her son, I want a divorce. You know who's going to hell now?
Oh, shit.
You fucking believe that shit?
Yeah,
well, divorce is a sin.
Even when he's beating the shit out of you.
And she ain't taking it no more. And they laugh and love it because now she's going to be going to hell. He sits down and drinks a beer and now he's going to hell. It was pretty cool. And I was like, you totally fucked this entire thing up.
So if she just sticks it out and gets beaten for the rest of her life, then she gets to go to heaven.
Dude, read the Bible. It's pretty much in there. It's not a lie, man. Women were property in that fucking book. It's true. I'm not lying.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I just...
All right, so yeah, she we go through a whole scenario of his domestic fucking hit. He hits her, and then she just can't take it anymore. I want a divorce. I mean, they're like, say it, say it, say it. And I was like, anticipation. And they're like, was that a Rocky Horror Picture Show reference? Are you a gay? And I was like, AIDS free? And they're like, oh. Watching you.
I'm like, only because I'm not married to my boyfriend yet.
So, yeah.
I wish the zombie or the Goblin King would take you away right now.
At that point, I was wishing the fucking Goblin King would take me away. I was like, how am I going to get out of here? Armed guards are still... And so, yeah, she goes to hell for wanting to divorce her husband. Well, guess what? Now, this whole talk of things that are going to hell... It's our turn to see hell.
Dude.
Because it takes us into the basement. And I was like, now I'm fucked. Because I ain't getting out of here.
No getting out of here.
So we go downstairs, and we come to hell. Which was a lot cooler than I actually think.
I was going to say.
It was going to be. I was like.
Strobe lights, Rolling Stone music.
I was like, I'm wearing a hoodie. It was cold. It was snowing outside. I'm not equipped to go into a place that's, like, 95 degrees. I understand if you're trying to, like, put up a whole, it's hot in hell, and that's cool. But seriously, if you think I'm going to stand here with this group and just physically get tortured because I pay the ticket, I'll punch my way through the first fucking emergency exit. And if there's not one, I'll make one with some little fuckers like, hey, I'm a demon. I'll toss his ass through a fucking window. And I'm like, I'm leaving.
I picture you just stripping naked. Like, dude, let's wear a hoodie. It's fucking hot in here, okay?
Yeah,
it's fine. I mean, it was dark a second ago. It's your fault for turning the lights up.
Yep. Yeah, we walked through these areas where people are all getting tortured. And I just kept seeing, like, a Nine Inch Nails video in my head or something. I was like, huh. So we come to the man himself, the Grand Lucifero, the fucking devil. And I was like, yeah, there he is. Now, we got these two demon guys who came off of a tour from Gwar. Their fucking outfits and costumes and makeup is just off the shit fucking hook. Their masks, it's fantastic.
It's a guy in a red suit, isn't it?
Ain't even red. Oh, shit. A black sweatshirt, black sweatpants.
To represent Sloth, one of the seven deadly sins.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or Vitale's pizza.
Right, yeah, Tony Soprano.
Yeah, this guy, he wasn't that impressive as a devil. He looked like the painter from Murphy Brown.
Eldon, yeah.
He looked like fucking Eldon. Except for he had like makeup,
makeup-y cheekbones?
Yeah. Alright, he had like black stick makeup marks on his face and stuff. Alright. Shit that you can spend 99 cents at Walgreens.
Right.
Well, here's my costume, and then be like, well, and the worst costume goes to, and it would be you because of your devotion to Halloween and 99-cent investment.
So they always show the devil, like, the devil always has, like, the sunken cheeks, like he's emaciated, but it seems to me like the devil would be kind of fat.
Well, he was.
Okay,
he
all right.
He was quite. Maybe they have this one right then.
Maybe.
But he still has that curly black mullet thing going on.
No.
The Sheldon, man.
Murph, this is going to cost you another $8.
Yep.
I'm going to go to the hardware store for more eggshell. Murph.
He just comes out and he starts just kicking up scripture, man. He's just telling about things he's just seen and how he reigns in hell and you are all now belonging to him, and how this fucking green in this living room isn't going to work. I'm going to be right back, Murph. I'm about to move on to the living room this episode, you know? And I'm like, and he's snarling, and saliva's coming out, and I'm like, hmm. And my buddy Brock just leans over and goes, Satan's wearing a sweatsuit. And I'm like, and then so it brings his attention
to us.
Fuck, dude. That's awesome. Thank you. It was a little warm in here. Now it's got better. And, yeah, so he's all, you're never leaving. I'm thinking, I'm actually balling up fists now because I'm thinking, the cult just got us. He's not being the devil. He's being the cult leader and saying you're never leaving. And I'm like, oh, my God. They have us in a basement. They've outnumbered the fuck out of us. I am fucked. And I don't wish to know how many ways. And I'm like, oh, shit, man. Things are just about to get evil.
So you're genuinely scared, but not for the reasons they wanted you to be
scared. Backing me up is my girlfriend, who's
still flirting with a ring girl.
Right. So she's upstairs making out with some ring girl. My extremely skinny, nice guy, but no muscle bassist, Brock. And Adam, the fucking male incarnate of all cowardness, and I'm like, fuck, I am like really outnumbered. I'm actually weighed down by the odds since the people that are with me are only going to hurt my chances. And so then, boom, door opens up from upstairs. An angel comes down, follow us to heaven. And I was like,
I think it looks a lot like the front door.
Heaven's got windows. I'll take it. And so we go upstairs. Now, heaven looked boring as shit. I've never actually picked... I know, when I was younger and believed in such fairy tales, I still have more investment into The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings than I do in the Bible. But I never thought that heaven would look this fucking bland. And
was there at least air hockey?
No.
Fuck, that's not heaven.
And there was a lot of folding chairs we could all sit on.
Ooh.
And
heaven's full of sore asses.
Yeah. You know what? I'm actually gonna hang out with fucking sweatsuit because at least it's kind of warm. And
can we go borrow some of that hemorrhoid cream from hell? My butt is really chafed from these hard stools.
Make it up the stairs, man. We all go take chairs, and you know what? Who's standing there? Jesus Christ,
J-Man.
Yep, him. Just standing there in the middle, we can all sit down and listen to him. And I could tell it's him because I've seen him in movies.
Nice.
Very, very white.
Uh-huh. Not the least bit Jewish.
No, well, come on. No. He's Christian. I'm a Benonite. He's got the white robes, doesn't have the staff. I told you to take the Jesus staff. Doesn't have a staff, so there's no staff power, just the robes. All of his power must be, you know, in his fists. I don't know. He's got brown hair, brown beard. He's Jesus. He's the fucking the cookie cutter of Jesus when he took him away and made him white. So we all sit down. Now, he is flocked by angels. Let me tell you, these angels were really cute chicks. They were adorable. I'm like, yeah, you guys are angels. Tight little body, 16 to 18-year-old angels, good for you. Hey, Jesus, good for you. I mean, Pastor Shithead, who has all this going on, good for you and your fucking corruption, you cocksucker. I wanted this guy. This is Pastor Keenan. This is the guy who puts it on, and he goes as Jesus, okay? When I read this article in the newspaper, this fucking just a cunt hair away from being a cultist who puts this on every year, this is the guy, this is him, and I'm like, yeah, I got you, motherfucker, and I'm sitting there in the front fucking row right in front of him, and no Jesus costume on earth is going to protect him from me. And so he is, blah, 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 blah. David Koresh was kind of almost there, you know, and he's like, you know, we're blah, 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 now let's bow our heads. And he just closes his eyes, hands out. Blah, 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 blah. Opens his eyes for a second as he's doing his speech, right?
He sees you staring holes in him.
Straight fucking into his soul. What a fucking child pornographer soul it was, too. I'm boring it into him, right? And as he's, this is my speech, and this is the same speech that I've been putting on, and you guys will invest $20 a ticket into this thing, and you were... you will keep on... He stopped!
It's like when
I got him!
When I tried to give you a time check, you just totally derailed.
I fucking unhorsed his shit, man, and I was so proud, because I'm like... Yeah, I'm like, yeah! And then he just stopped. And then he... Bah, 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 and then when it's done, his hand goes up to me first. Thank you. And I was like, hey, no problem. And I shake it. And that was it. You know, if we wanted to be a part of this church, we could fill out the little pamphlet underneath our seats. And but there's the exit. I'm like, okay. There's the exit. And that was it, man. That was it.
But here comes the scariest part.
Okay. Was that it? No, it wasn't. Because.
Parking lot profits.
No.
Oh, damn it.
That's what continues on. It lets me think that it's done. We get back to the house. We tell everybody. I lived in a house with six different people. We tell everybody about the fucking obscene shit we've seen that night. We see this fucking cult. Everybody around us, everyone was too scared to even voice up anything that actually did this tour with us. And we have good japes and jests about the things that we've seen and the things that we said. I mean, Brock even said, the angel next to Jesus totally eyed fucking shit out of me. And I was like, I loved it. We fast forward in time a little bit. I get into touch with an ex-girlfriend of mine, Christy, who brought me out to Colorado. We start talking again. And then my friend Brock, he starts, like, totally banging her. And he didn't even do that whole, is it cool if I bang your ex thing? They just started banging. And he and I had an argument. I screamed at him. I was like, that's not fucking cool. You want to fuck her? You go back to her house and fuck her. You talk to me about it first. This is fucked up. Okay. Kicked him out of my band for a weekend. But
you were suspended for 1 weekend without pay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. then Adam, he goes all off the fucking reservation crazy with the whole...
Still off.
Everything everything has ever been wrong with my life was because you did this. But I'm
my following you to Colorado was your fault.
Tell everybody this, but when it comes to you, I won't say a word because I can't talk to you about it. Until to this day, he never told me why he can't be my friend. He just dropped.
You got a friend just like that.
And
motherfuckers.
Then, Gabby finds a job at a bar and starts fucking the bartender there, and so we break up.
You're blaming this all on your hell house? All
right. And okay. So, like I had, like, a $3,000 engagement ring I put on her fucking finger. And then she's like, you know what? I want to bang this guy because he's such a cocksucker. And douchebags, they totally get to the girl. And I was like, well, I guess if that's who you are, thank you for showing me your colors now before we're married. So I go through the jail. everybody who came with me to the Hell House abandons me. Just fucking gone, right? And I just, there's one day, I'm like in my apartment, I'm like sitting there. I mean, she was my roommate. She's gone. Justin was my roommate, and he fucking took off, thank God. But I'm sitting there by myself, man. I was like, where did I go fucking wrong in my life? And I'm just like, would anybody even notice if I just fucking hang myself in the closet? How long will it take for anyone to even know that I'm dead? I just sit there, and I close my eyes, and I just hate my life. And I wake up, and I'm still sitting there, right in the heaven box with that pastor and all those angels. And there's Gabby standing in front of me, and she's like, what's the matter? And I go, oh, nothing. Let's go. And we start making our way to the door. And she just turns with these yellow eyes. Ah!
Wow.
Pretty good job.
Yeah, that's an excellent Hell House.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to give you guys a chance to come down from that. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
They'll wait, and dip while they sleep.
That was the creepiest thing I could come up with for a creepy voice to say. It wasn't nearly as cool as Ben's. All right, so we are back.
Hello.
I hope you enjoyed those commercials. Still on the subject of Halloween, when I was in high school, I had a favorite costume, Halloween costume.
Mm-hmm.
I went as Eric Draven from The Crow, with the face makeup and the trench coat. And
sure.
The epitome of gothitude.
Yeah.
Did that for like 3 years in a row. People got a little tired of seeing The
Crow. Yeah, yeah.
Everybody was like, you could be The Crow. You could be a big old fat crow. Cause yeah. Kick that guy in the balls.
You know, I myself have done The Crow once, too. I think anyone worth their salt has done The Crow once, at least.
Yeah. It's an easy costume.
In Colorado.
It doesn't have a trench coat or anything.
Yeah. In Colorado, I met one kid who actually pulled it off really fucking good. I was impressed with his crow. Mine was shit. I mean, everyone's a shit, really. You just put on the little mime face, and I'm the crow.
Well, everybody thought that I was Beetlejuice when we went trick-or-treating, so that was not all that rewarding. I thought it was all this badass goth dude, like, are you Beetlejuice? Oh, it's cute. You're precious.
Nice. Well, I got roped into the Silent Bob thing. People are like, you always remind me of Silent Bob. And so I was like, well, fuck it. I'll give you what you want. And when I did, I was a god.
Yeah, it really worked out for you.
Yeah, it did. I heard that some kid dressed up like him and then just took off his costume because he's like, fuck it. That guy's doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm happy that I did that. I don't know who the kid was, but I'm fucking awesome and fairly happy that I smashed him. But, I always like to go as Darkman.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
It's a great one.
Some ace bandage, fedora, all set.
Yep, and I had a green-ish, like an olive-colored trench coat.
The thing I didn't understand, it seemed like he could put sunblock on, and he could be just fine.
Okay. Could you take one of those photo sheets that you can't have out of a dark room,
mm-hmm.
put sunblock over it, would it be okay?
I don't know, maybe.
I doubt it.
didn't Spike pull some shit like that on Buffy one time? You just like take on the oxide stuff, the white stuff?
You know, no, he didn't.
No?
No, Buffy didn't.
What are you thinking of?
Then you're probably thinking of Blade.
Mm.
Yeah. There's a couple of vampire movies that they're like, I'm wearing 1,000% sunblock. And it's like, oh, what did you make that in your fucking meth lab of a garage? No, fuck you.
Hello,
I just put it on several times. No.
800 years to live, they could probably figure that shit out.
Well, it's not like they went into the future and came back with sunblock. They don't think, ha ha, you're probably wondering why I'm seeing you right now, Blade. I have sunblock on. It's like, the fuck are you talking about? So you're telling me Sarah Connor's theory, if you're not wearing a 1,000,000% sunblock in the future, you're going to have a pretty fucking bad day, which is a great line in number T2. So we're going to take that literally then. when the bombs go off, if people actually are wearing that, you're going to be just as safe as a fucking vampire with it on. You're going to be just okay. Man, that's what I thought was stupid. No. He was out in the sun once, but it wasn't because of sunblock. It was an artifact ring that he had to wear. He was impervious to anything. You couldn't.
Wasn't he driving in the desert with his, like, windows all blacked out or something?
Oh, yeah. He liked that. That was one of his tactics. He had completely blacked out windows to his car.
Fair enough.
And he had, like, big welding goggles on and, like, a small area he could see out of. Now, granted, sunlight wasn't shining in on him. I think that probably would have fried him right there, but it allowed his eyes to see the sunlight. That was a good episode.
Nice.
That was a good season.
Further tangent, I read an article on Cracked.com that was, like, pointing out all the big plot holes in major movies, which they are tended to do.
Sure.
And they made a point that in T2, at the end, when T-1000 jams Arnold's arm into the machine, the big gear machine, and his arm pretty much gets ripped off.
Yes.
They don't go back and retrieve that arm.
Right.
So that's just one more goddamn arm that somebody's going to find and make Skynet happen again.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, they have that arm, and then they have that chip, and they destroy it, right? And they're like, right. Hooray.
And then he loses another arm in the process of getting rid of the chip.
Yeah, I always thought that was a way for the Skynet thing to kill me on the
timeline.
And if you think about it, the timeline was thrown back years. In T3, John Connor was living a life that he should have already been worrying about the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And he had no place in this world. Because they had defeated it, and by now he'd be already on the track to being the savior of the future.
Right, right.
And it didn't happen. And, yeah, you can argue that they had the technology of the arm, but they didn't have that chip brain piece of the T-800 that they had. It wasn't completely deleted. It was just set off. Mm. Yeah.
I never saw T-3, so it's probably my fault.
Holy shit.
I know. Despite your praises for it, I just never got around to it.
Son of a bitch.
No liquid metal.
No, there was liquid metal.
Was there?
Yeah.
I thought she was more
the TX,
like Transformers.
She was style. She was half like a T-800 and half liquid metal Terminator.
Shit, I gotta see that.
No, yeah, she was a TX, man.
Because I love that liquid metal.
Yeah, yeah. She is a part of it, yeah.
It made me think of the Capri Sun commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get all thirsty for Capri Sun, and that's a good place to be.
I get thirsty for The Matrix. When it was getting on Neo's hand and...
Oh, yeah. Starts at his fingers?
Yeah.
I do think of The Matrix every... They did a good job with the sound on that, because every time like there's a fuck-up in a podcast and it does that weird... thing. Holy shit, well done!
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's... And that, I was like, wow, I think of The Matrix.
I wow my child out a lot with some of the noises I can make whenever we're looking at books or playing with things that make animal noises, and I, like, mimic them completely.
Wow,
now, she's like, wow, my dad's the best in the world. And she's right. But but then I look over at Caitlin, and she's like, how the fuck are you doing that? I was like... I blew your mom's mind out of her fucking skull, too! Ah! And she looks over, you know, Ava looks over and is like, it's Dad, of course he can fucking do that. What's wrong with you?
Duh.
Yeah.
Did you ever do anything for Devil's Night? Did you ever go out and do pranks or hit people's houses or anything like that? On Devil's Night, I know, you know, teenagers get up to no good, but I'm talking about on the actual holiday.
You know, I don't actually recall ever doing anything to Devil's Night.
My fourth grade teacher made a big deal, which I thought was really bad taste, to be honest. But he was like, "Oh yeah, Devil's Night. We always used to go out and like prank people, and we do." But he only told us about like the safe pranks, like he'd like do TP because that just, you know, the rain and stuff washes that away. And he was like, "Oh, we never did any other permanent damage." He said we'd soap windows. So we'd write stuff on people's windows with soap, not wax, because soap washes off. Well, by saying not wax, that tells me I should try wax. So there was this kid across the street who I fucking hated, and his whole family I fucking hated, and they had this old beat up car that was in their yard for like ever and ever and ever, and I went over there, and I found a block of like paraffin wax in my dad's garage, and I ran across the street, and I just hurriedly, as quick as I could, just wrote as many swear words as I could think of. Just strung together on the windshield of this car and then ran back across the street. So it just says, like, shit, fuck, ass,
Cock, balls.
Mittens. Or, you know, because I'm in, like, fourth grade. I don't know what swear words are, really.
Damn it. Like, exclamation point.
No, not really breaking new ground. Like, not like this person who lives here is an asswipe or anything like that, like I would do now.
Rapist.
But so, and so I did this, and I'm like, yeah, waxed him. And then, like, but it stayed there for, like, ever. Because wax is, you got to, like, scrub that shit to get it off. There's not really an easy way to get. And they just really are going to fucking whip. So this car sat there with the shit fuck ass balls on it for 3-4 months. Well, and I started feeling guilty about it because I'm a little kid and I have a conscience. And so I didn't, it was a flawless crime, like, I'm sure they had their suspicions because I tried to beat their kid up a couple times, but other than that, they couldn't really come right out and say, you know, and make me, like, clean it up or do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I went across, I borrowed a Brillo pad from the kitchen of my home, and I ran across the street, broad daylight, mind you, when they weren't home, and I started, like, scrubbing it to try to get it off because I was trying to clean my own conscience. And
how does Brillo work on glass?
Decent. Decent.
Oh, really?
For just removing wax, it worked okay.
Okay.
I got, like, three letters in, and they started coming home. I lived on a side street, so you could see them coming from, like, way down the street.
Uh-huh.
But the downside is that they could also see me standing in their yard fucking around with their car. And, you know, they, like, so I almost got caught undoing the bad thing that I did. I had this really flimsy story set because I was like, I need to go do this, but I didn't. I was like, what if I get caught? Oh, and, like, just a little, like, half-assed part of my brain was like, well, you should probably have some sort of backup story. I had some flimsy story about, like, I had a Super Bowl with me, and I was, oh, it bounced across the street, and I was just grabbing my Super Bowl. That's what I was doing in your yard. And they actually, like, I saw them coming, and I was like, I'm sure I, like, was, like, scrubby, look right, whoa! And they saw, like, every little bit of that coming down the street. I'm like, what the fuck is this little kid doing? God damn it! And so they're getting out, and I stay in the front yard because I don't want to look guilty. I don't want to, like, run in the back and be like,
"Hi, you shit in your pants and jumping
so,
and swim."
Yeah, I just try to stay in my front yard, and, like, I was sitting there bouncing my ball, looking like a fucking asshole. And he was like, their dad was like, "Hey, what were you just doing in our yard?" And I was like, "Oh, I lost my ball," and I held it up, and he was just like, and he went in the house. And I got away with it, but yeah, I didn't try to remove it after that. They eventually did clean it, but I wasn't about to try to risk my ass trying to undo the bad that I'd already done.
Wow.
Yeah.
You fucking rebel, you.
I know. And then we lived in Flint, like, last year, well, 2 years ago. We lived on Hill Road, which was kind of not really a bad neighborhood. Like, on the way to good neighborhood, but you have to, like bums and shit would cross their yard all the time. So on Devil's Night, I'm, like, on high alert. And I could hear, I purposely didn't rake leaves until after Halloween so that I could hear people traipsing through our yard.
Wow.
And I heard people in our yard. And I'm like, whoa, what do I do? I don't want to get egged or whatever, but at the same time, like, what the fuck? I'm going to go out and say, I'm not tough or anything. It's not going to do anything. And then I remember the king's sword. So I go outside, I grab my maglite, I grab my 5-foot replica of the Lord of the Rings King Sword.
Smart.
And I never did. I never found him. They must have gone running. But I'm like, I had my hoodie on, and I had my flashlight, and I had my giant goddamn sword. And I was like, you know what? I don't have a gun. But if I'm like a teenager, and I see somebody come around the corner with a big goddamn sword, I'm definitely running.
You know.
So I think that
turning
I,
on your living room light
probably would have scared them.
They'd run like fucking cockroaches.
Yeah.
But I like the style
of the. Well, a small part of me, I think, wanted to catch him. Like, sure. So they would know for next time, kind of thing. But
yeah, because next time they'll not be having an arm or something.
Right.
Now, look, I have to take this arm. It's my duty. I'm taking an arm.
This hurts me way more than it hurts you.
You and your friends do it to get you back home. And a tourniquet on so you don't die. Because after I take your arm, it's out of my hands. And it's out of your hand.
Actually, no, it's not out of my hand. I have your hand. I'll be keeping it in a mason jar. Don't worry, I'll put it in vinegar if you guys want to come pick it up.
It's got to be a big mason jar. Just taking a hand or an arm. Even yeah, just a right. Hand. I mean,
yeah, that was
the pretty, I get it like cramming in
it's
there.
It's like the iced tea jar there might work.
Yeah, oh no, that'd be fine.
Yeah,
big sun-kissed iced tea jar. Yeah, boom, that'd be awesome. You got that the script for the next segment?
Yes.
All right. Summing up our Halloween endeavor, what else we got on the agenda? People can't live without.
Let's see. Well, I used to think that that I was a huge puss because we went to a haunted trail last year, and I wasn't really like I said, I've been scared by haunted houses a great deal.
Mm.
So I was like, we're going with a bunch of my wife's high school. She's a band teacher. We went with a bunch of her high school kids, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm gonna look like such a douche being all scared of all these, you know, people, like people that I know were in costumes, logically, like, but I'm gonna be, oh, you know. And I really didn't. Like, there was a couple times that I got startled. Like, somebody jumps out at you, and you have no choice, but, like, the fight-or-flight thing activates in your brain, and you go, just for a second.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like, I wasn't, like, there were people in my ear being like, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Good work, man. Like, I was proud of myself.
Yeah.
But I think there's a difference between being scared and being frightened. Like, yeah. I think the toughest guy in the world, I don't know, like the guys in junior high that would be like, and like jump at you and then hit you for two for fortune. Man. Like, if you're
find them now, there's assistant managers in the gas station or just like a complete lard ass.
But at the same time, like, what is that?
I'm bulking up for
that actually doesn't prove anything. Like, if you're stupid enough to stand there while someone punches you in the face, like, that's not okay. Like, even your toughest guy is gonna be like, okay, no, I need to do something to move my body to block a punch or something.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and yeah, so that's I think that's not really a. You shouldn't train yourself.
I have daredevil-like reflexes.
Yeah, right.
Whoa!
Yeah, I think that
the
would
only
be
thing you have to train for is that when they do the, you have to be ready to block it, and then you have to jab them right in the solar plexus.
Yeah, I think if you did the Batman like grab their fist thing, I think that would be
that.
You'd get some cred then instead of just going meh, like I do.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could always take an approach that I did with that that pastor who ran the hell out. It was just a magical fucking. It takes some planning, but it's quite easy. It's quite simple. You get some M99, and you follow them out to their car, stick them in the neck with a syringe of it, and they go out unconscious, you know.
Okay.
Their whole thing was, I'm going to hit you, or I'm going to pretend to hit you, and you're going to flinch. Ha, ha, ha. Well, when they wake up on a table, and they're surrounded in saran wrap, and you have a knife, and you're going to just plunge it into their heart, and then cut up their pieces of body and get rid of it. The joke's on them at that point. Sorry, Pastor Keenan. He will be missed. Not by me.
All right. Well, we need to be wrapping up our Halloween episode.
Yes, indeed. I was making a Dexter reference, in case you didn't know. All right. Our listeners know. They know.
Yeah, they know.
Okay. So I think we're done here. We have a few segments we didn't touch on, but we will definitely do that next time. But it is the Halloween segment. So do you have a favorite Arnold quote from any movie personally that you'd like to throw out there?
No, I'm gonna bow to your excellence.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll take your turn and my turn and kind of meld them together.
I like it.
I'm gonna take it from a strange source, though. One of those things that not a lot of people have seen Schwarzenegger in. And if I can remember correctly, it's let's see, is it darkness fills across the land, the midnight hour is closed and creatures crawl in search of blood that their eyes will never heard. I'm going to throw you tonight, foully stenching the air, the funk of the 40,000 year, the grisly ghouls from every tomb are cleaning in to seal your tomb. And now you fight to stay alive, your body begins to shiver. For no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller. That's from Twins.
Yeah, very nice.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.